It's a great pleasure to be here in this conference, and we'd like to thank organizing committee for invitation and for support. I'm going to talk about numerical simulation of the gravity of the turbulence of gravity waves on the surface of three-dimensional deep water. This work was done in collaboration with Professor Zakharov and Dr. Karatkevich in Landau Institute. And so we will consider the turbulence of gravity waves on the surface, and we will have in mind that there is a reduced model for that for when the elevation is not so high, when the steepness is not big, the kinetic equation for the waves. And the kinetic equation has the power-like solution with flux of energy, and kinetic equation is reduced with some assumption from the exact equation, exact dynamical equation for gravity waves. And our goal is to make try to compare the solution of the exact equation, dynamical equation for potential and surface elevation, statistical properties of that solution with the known Kolmogorov type solution for kinetic equation. And the answer is that yes, they very similar, the same scaling exponent. And now I'll go to the detail of what we did. So the equation that we simulated on the computer are the following. It's a potential flow of the fluid with potential phi. R is the two-dimensional coordinate at the surface, and Z is the vertical one. The equations have Hamiltonian, and the Hamiltonian variables here are potential at the surface psi, given at the surface, and eta, elevation of the surface. And equations, dynamical equations, can be written for these two canonical variables, psi and eta, if we write down the Hamiltonian. Of course, we cannot write it in compact form because everybody knows this problem. Just we have to truncate. We consider the elevation not very big, so we can truncate this Hamiltonian in some order. Say for gravity waves, we should take into account up to the first order terms in the Hamiltonian with respect to psi and eta. And then this is our Hamiltonian. And the equation for dynamical equation could be derived from this Hamiltonian just by variational derivatives. It's somehow hidden in the equation. So it, of course, it exists somewhere, but it truncates. So it's somewhere in the Hamiltonian. Of course, it exists. And here are the equations. They are cubically nonlinear after variation of first order Hamiltonian. And they, this is our equation for simulation. And to study the turbulence, we have to put, like in kinetic equation, additional terms, damping for damping and forcing. Forcing, we consider at, isotropic forcing within some in large scales. It's you can imagine this forcing like, for example, yesterday Professor Melville gave us a talk with, and he showed a picture of helicopters at the surface. So this force is, you can imagine like a bunch of helicopters. trying to find somebody to rescue above the surface. Something like that. And to construct the numerical scheme, I'll need this one. So we have to compare the result of simulation of dynamical equation with kinetic equation. For that, we have to calculate a correlation function in the dynamical system and compare and calculate the index of decay of that correlation function. And having in mind again the kinetic equation, we introduce normal variables AK like this one, and for gravity waves we have to introduce another variable BK because of absence of three wave resonances, and this BK is the object for kinetic equation. So we will calculate in our simulation spectrum of elevation and compare this spectrum with solution of kinetic equation. So let's go to the numerical model. This is the solution that we want to find. We want to compare the between kinetic equation and the dynamical equation. In particular, in this case, for gravity wave, it should be nk should be has the power of k minus force, and if you recalculate it to the elevation, this should be for elevation spectrum. It is like this, 7 halves. Okay. So to construct numerical model for those equations, we'll do the following trick. We know that our system is Hamiltonian, and the continuous equation could be obtained by variation of Hamiltonian. So let's do this by analogy. Do the variation in a discrete grid. Let's consider the difference of Hamiltonian for time n plus 1 and time n. This is the difference. And let us, we know the exact formula for Hamiltonian, and we can write down this difference as a difference of psi multiplied by something, and difference plus difference of eta multiplied by something. These somethings we will call discrete variational derivatives of Hamiltonian. And we can write down explicit formula for that. Then to get zero, we just have to equate eta to this one and this difference to minus this one. And so we got this discrete equations, and these equations conserve Hamiltonian exactly. The only thing that they are nonlinear with respect to unknown variables, and we have to introduce some iteration procedure to solve this system. So for numerical simulation, we have the following we use the following parameters for forcing and damping. Let's specify what is the forcing. Forcing is a in Fourier space, it's localized between k1 and k2, and has a shape of parabola, and on each time step you plug in the velocity additional component with a random phase, so just random pumping. And for damping, damping starts with at some wave number kd and behave quadratically. So there is a gap between pumping and damping, like for which is called inertial interval, where cascade, direct cascade takes place. Here are the parameters for the pumping, and we did this experiments for different grids. This one, and this one. And the damping was started. Damping started always at the middle of the wave numbers. For example, for this grid, the highest wave number is 256, and damping starts at this k. So this is the typical behavior of Hamiltonian, the total energy as a function of time. So first, the pumping puts energy to the system, then it saturates due to a cascade of energy to high k, where the energy dissipates, and we get it some kind of stationary state, which is, and in this case, in this state, we can calculate the correlation function, because it's looks like suitable for reduction to kinetic equation. And we calculate, we average on somewhere here the spectrum of elevation. And here's the result. This is the spectrum of elevation. This is the region of pumping. Damping starts somewhere here, and this line corresponds to the slope of 3.5, for which is the solution of kinetic equation for energy flux. On this plot, you can see the same spectrum, but multiplied by k to some power. So if z, this power is 3.5, like which is, then this is flat. So like as predicted by Victor Blum's theory. If we go to the higher k, if we plug in here force, which corresponds to the Phillips spectrum, which is can be derived. When you take into account breaking of waves, then you'll see the difference. Of course, breaking of wave breaking doesn't happen in this simulation, because we specially designed experiments so that the level of elevation was small, and that we don't see wave breaking in this case. And here on this plot, you see the difference. The same pumping, but with different grids. So if you have a wider inertial interval where cascade takes place, then you see this this plateau extends. This is compensated spectrum. And for different pumping, if you put another just another value of pumping, amplitude of pumping, you'll get the same spectrum, just shifted. And you see this very similar behavior. It is because of angular averaging and the grid, some kind of discrete grid. You can see the that this is the influence of discreteness of the grid. So the conclusion is that for moderate level of gravity waves, the direct exact equation, exact dynamical equations gives very similar results that kinetic equation predicts. And do I have time?
Yes.
And I finished with this problem, and I would like to show you very briefly the other results that about the simulation of propagation of slightly modulated wave train. And this problem is pure two-dimensional. Is pure two-dimensional, and is pure two-dimensional, and based on the equation are the following. And before solving this problem, we introduced the conformal mapping of this domain to the half plane. And I will skip the details, and we end up instead of this set of equation with the following one. This is instead of kinematic, and this variables here the following. R is the inverse derivative of the conformal mapping. Phi, instead of phi, we have a known function v, velocity, complex velocity, and this is equation for velocity, which is instead of Bernoulli equation. These equations are written for analytical function in lower half plane. So all of them are complex, and all these functions r, v, u are complex and analytic in lower half plane. And these equations are exact. And this is our model. And then the problem we are going to study is the following. We take a steady wave train for wave train of Stokes waves. These are nonlinear Stokes wave, and the steepness here is 0.3, because this value should be multiplied by k. K is 10 here, and after a while, and the velocity is modulated with the modulation the smallest k, which is possible in this system. And after a while, wave breaks. This is the one slope of the wave, and just before breaking. And the steepness near the crest is the following. This is the graph of steepness. It goes, the wall become is going to be vertical, and the derivative of steepness goes to infinity. And it happens, this breaking happens every time when you exceed the threshold of Benjamin Fair instability. And it doesn't matter what is the level of this initial wave train, it's small or larger, it doesn't matter. Just if it is above threshold, then breaking takes place. For example, for Zeker wave train, with the steepness 0.15, again you see the formation of big wave. In this case, it could be called freak wave, because the its amplitude is three times higher than the amplitude of the background, and this wave again breaks. And the feature, the common feature in all these simulations is that if you calculate, if you consider this breaking wave at the moment very close to breaking, and calculate the ratio between height, the total height, to the wavelengths, it is always very close to the ratio for limiting Stokes waves, 0.14. It doesn't matter what is the level of this one. Every time you go to the limiting Stokes waves, and then and this wave breaks. This is the main message. So that breaking waves, which starts from slightly modulated wave train, always goes to limiting. If we are above the threshold of modulation instability, it goes to the limiting Stokes wave. That's it.